We just want to come before you and say, first off, thank you so much for your presence and worship. Now, there's often times that we go through the motion of song singing, but there's times where we really encounter you and you dwell and inhabit our praises. And you did that today, and we're humbled by it and we're grateful for it. And God, I pray that right now you would lift anything off of our ears that would hinder us from hearing what your Spirit is saying. God, we want to discover you new, fresh, real, alive, vibrant, powerful, and we need your Spirit's help to do that. So clear our ears to hear, and God, also anoint my words so that as I speak, it actually does make clear sense to each and every heart in the room. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to John chapter 13. So I'm gonna try not to disservice this message, okay, because sometimes you feel the pressure to go fast because you want to finish on time. Do we have an on time in this church? No. I've trained you well. We do, actually. Generally speaking, we try to pull up around 11:30, which means that's not going to happen. No, in all seriousness, we do want to be respectful of your time, so we try to stay close to that mark, even though we don't always hit it. So, you know, when I first got saved, I remember this real sense of being humbled that God wanted me. You guys remember that? Like, there's this sense that the creator of the universe loves you. You guys remember? Hello, help me. You guys remember this? Like, God actually is interested in you. That was really like an amazing concept to me. I was very humbled by it. And I remember when it happened, there was this thought inside of me like, I got to do something. You guys ever feel that? Like, well, he was so nice to me, I should do something for him. You guys ever get a gift and you feel like you need to give a gift back? Yeah. Well, the truth is that's spiritual. It is. It's actually how, I don't know what he said, but I want to know. He's over there laughing. Usually Kevin's got something funny, but anyways, you know, but for me, I was humbled by his love, but I also felt this sense of obligation. And on the early side of it, I just tried to help wherever I could. You know, like they'd need help cleaning or setting up chairs. And I just always found myself busy around the church. What I didn't know at that time was God was starting to shape in me an understanding of spiritual life. By the way, he's doing the same thing in all of you. And what he does is he takes where you're at and then says, do you realize that life will be way more vibrant if you actually participate? How many of you guys like sports? How many of you guys like sports? How many athletes we have? About half of you, three quarters of sports. Like, how many of you guys like playing sports over watching sports? Yeah, I'm old, but I still would way rather play than I would ever, because participating is way better than observing. It's true in church life too. Spiritual life's that way, that God wants us to be part of it. You know, and when I think about spiritual stuff, a lot of times, like I get the idea that God forgives me. Like I think it's awesome, but I understand it. Heaven, eternity, they actually kind of make sense. But then I started to think, like, what does it really mean to be a Christian? Like, what does God expect of us, if there is an expectation, so to speak? What does God want from our lives right now? You guys ever think like this? See, this morning's service is titled, Give Yourself Away. What did Jesus do? What, he gave himself away. And I'm going to talk to you about that this morning because I want you to get a picture of something. That all of us have busy lives. Somebody say amen. How many of you guys are busy? Anybody not busy? Yeah, okay. We're all busy. So we can all come up with reasons why we can't do something. But what if it's God saying, I need you to step into this thing? What if it's Christ himself saying, the kingdom of God expands actually through you? See, Jesus gave us some insight in John 13. This is verses 34 and 35. And he's talking to the disciples and he's teaching. He says, a new commandment. What kind of commandment? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my what? Disciples, if you have love for one another. He said, listen, this is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. You know that sometimes God will suggest things and other times he'll say, just do it. I think God created the whole Nike thing, right? Just do it. He says, just get it done. In other words, step into it. It's an order. It's a command. It's something that he expects of us. And he says this, that I want you to love each other, but he uses a word that says, I want you to sacrifice. How many of you guys like being loved? Come on, everybody in the room, put your hands up. How many of you like being loved? If you don't like being loved, you're a weirdo. We got counseling for you. I'm just telling you the truth. Everybody wants to be loved. Now, how many of you guys like to sacrifice to love someone else? You're like, It's a lot more fun to be loved. But then the truth is this, that the beauty of love is when it's received and what? Given. It's, man, it's so powerful. And that's what Jesus is teaching them. I want you to love everybody else the same way I've loved you. And then he says this, it will prove that you're a disciple. How many of you guys are disciples of Christ? Yeah, that's what you're a disciple of Christ. It means this, that you're a pupil or a student. He's one who's teaching you how to do life. You know, I'm blown away as I observe our church. If I were to say there's one thing I possibly love more than anything else in being a pastor is watching people grow. Super fun. I mean, it really is. Like, I feel like I get this fishbowl kind of look into people's lives because I see y'all when you come in and you're jacked up. I mean it. Like, some of you come in, you're a mess. I did too, so we're all in the same boat. But I see you come in and life's not okay. This is true for almost all of us. Some people come to Jesus okay, most don't. They come with addictions, with pains, with problems, with fractured relationships, with all kinds of stuff. And then you watch God start to heal them and shape them and remind them that they belong to him. And they start to develop this idea in this sense of belonging and purpose, that they belong to the creator of the universe. And, you know, when we first started the church, I didn't know what I was doing. Truth is, I don't know that I still don't know what I'm doing. I just do the best I can in the name of Jesus. But I remember we were all together and it didn't matter because we were in it what? Together. We were just doing this thing. Going to go love people and figure it out. Well, over the years that we've been a church, you know, we developed a leadership team and I've watched these guys. You know, you watch Caesar. Caesar spoke this morning, shared a word from God. I remember a day where he never would have stood in front of a mic, let alone in the name of something spiritual. Russell preached last Sunday. You know, I remember when Russell was like, I'm not doing that. And Mike's out of town today, but Mike's all over the place, serving, building, structuring, administrating, just super, super gifted guy. Generally, you see him behind in the drum cage. Scott was back there with us today, which was really, really awesome. Jerry, you in the room? You over with Club 56. He's probably in the 56ers. He and his wife teach the 5th and 6th grade class. I mean, we're just really, really overwhelmingly blessed with leaders. And Rob's back there running sound and all this creative stuff you see around here. And it's wild because when you go through this stuff, for me, I get the fishbowl look at these guys' lives. I get to watch when they came in and I get to watch how God has shaped them and grown them to the point where you all don't necessarily realize this, but they're the elders that oversee this church. You know, how many of you guys have heard Steve preach? Steve preaches for me sometimes. Steve can preach, by the way. I think Steve's a pastor. He just hasn't figured it out yet. But Steve can preach. Steve in the room. He is here. There he is. Yeah, no. Steve's like, no, I want you, pastor. I don't want your job. No, but the reality is this, you guys. All of these guys got one thing that in common, that they said yes when Jesus said go. That's the truth. That, you know the difference between somebody who does things for God and somebody who doesn't? One word, yes. That's all it is, yes. So it's so simple, but it's actually really hard to do sometimes, isn't it? You ever been asked to do something and you think this, I don't know how to do that. Can't I just move a chair or push a vacuum or clean something? Which, by the way, we need you to move chairs and push vacuums. You know, Cindy, God bless. Look, Cindy's like, please pitch my ministry, pastor. She does the cleaning ministry. Well, you're here on Friday mornings, aren't you? So if you can break free on a Friday morning, and what other days? Talk to Cindy. Wave your hands. Make it big. That's Cindy. Cindy just took a job. So Cindy is still trying to keep this place clean at the same time that she's working. We need people to do what? Help her. And you think, man, well, I don't know who you are, but I'm pretty sure most of us can push a vacuum or wipe a chair down or something like that. Easy cleaning, yeah. But the point is this, that all of these people said what? Yes. They just said yes. Now, I remember when I used to move chairs around. Guys, you know, some of you guys are like, I'll help with that kind of stuff, pastor. That's cool. And I remember when God said, that's not actually what I want you to do. You guys ever had God do that with you? You're like, I'm fine. I'll just be behind the scenes. How many of you guys are behind the scenes people? You know I'm talking to you. Raise your hands. You're behind the scenes. You're like, I'm not doing nothing. I'm just going to move chairs. I'll make things happen. Nobody needs to notice me. By the way, at the end of the day, if God wants you to be front, you're going to be up front. Man, I'll tell you what. I remember the first time I taught a Bible study. If you haven't figured this out, I'm way winging it because we don't have enough time to do the whole sermon, but I'll get through as much as I can. But this is actually all part of my notes, though, but I'm all over the place, and you don't know that. You can't see my notes. Anyways, I remember the first time I taught a Bible study, and I've joked about this before. It was like, how many of you guys have ever seen that Evelyn Wood speed reading course thing? That was how I taught the Bible. And Moses, because I was so nervous. I was like, oh my gosh, there's no way. And I remember I read it and people were looking at me. They're like, did you breathe at all? You read like two chapters. I'm like red face. It was ridiculous. But what happened in that, I was sitting with my small group. I was in a small group, which by the way, after summer, we're going to start small groups again. So we're going to be, yeah. People grow in relationship. That's how it happens. Brother Paul. Okay, this is actually one of my older brothers. He just walked in. He's all embarrassed now because I noticed him. Yeah. Hi, Paul. By the way, you're going to be on the internet too because this gets published. No, that's really cool. I get to say hi to my brother too. So, other brother, Steve led worship. Paul's visiting. Anyways, I totally lied. So I remember sitting in our small group. And in our small group, a couple named Roger and Nancy Gutierrez, and they were just the sort of people that, hey, you should try this. They were the ones, like I do with you guys, hey, you should step in and help. And other people around go, hey, you should help me with this. They were that couple, and they were the ones who said, I think you should teach a Bible study. You should teach our group in a couple weeks. And I went, I don't know how to do that. They said, I'll help you. Yeah, sort of. They kind of helped. But it was the first time I'd ever taught. And when it was done, people were like, hey, that was actually pretty good. After you got done with the speed reading course, it was okay, you know? And I started to discover something, though, that if God gifts you to serve people, he wants you to use that gift to bless them. And that is what the discovery is, honestly, for all of us. We're all in a process of taking what God has deposited in us and then turning around and blessing other people with it. Well, Jesus has got this scene going on with the disciples, and you know, I'm going to give you the context of John chapter 13, but I'm going to do it out of Matthew. And because of time, I'm just going to tell you the story. You guys remember when James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they show up with Jesus. They're two brothers. They're two key guys with Jesus. They show up with their mama, okay? Say their mama. They show up with their mama, and their mama goes to Jesus and say, hey, when you get your kingdom going, can my boys have the seat on the left and right of you? Okay, that's a pretty like tall ask. Would you like, hey, I want my boys to be your number two and three guys. That's basically what she's saying. And in the context of this story, the other disciples get really mad. But why do you think they got mad? Because they didn't think of it first. That's why. Look, they get mad and they say, who? And Jesus says, listen, you don't know what you're asking, but if you want to be great in my kingdom, you have to become what? The servant of all men. And that's the context of John chapter 13. Now, I shared that with you out of Matthew 20 because you don't get that picture in John. But this is what John says, verse 1 of chapter 13. Let's walk through this real quick. Now, before the feast of Passover, Jesus, knowing his hour had come and that he had to depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the end. During the supper, the devil had already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. So you've got this picture. He's gathering together. He's about to go to the cross, and he's going to teach them right now, but he's going to model his teaching. So he gathers together with them and he says this first. I want you to catch this. Jesus knew his purpose. That's why he didn't get sidetracked. He said, knowing that God had given him all things, that he'd received all things, that he was going back to the Father, he knew his what? Purpose. Do you guys know your purpose? See, one of the challenges as a Christian is to discover how God has gifted us. Now, how many of you guys ever read like The Purpose-Driven Life, Strength Finders, 360s, come on, I've done them all. How many of you guys have done all of these? You take tests, you read books, you watch programs, and they're all around this idea of purpose because people need to discover who they are and why God created them. And when you discover that, your life becomes very vibrant, very alive. And Jesus is saying, listen, you need to get the basics down. Know why you're here. You know, some of you are like, well, I don't know why I'm here yet, Pastor. I'm going to tell you why you're here. And I'm going to tell you how it builds off of that. And he says this, he says, knowing that the Father had given, verse 3, all things into his hand, and that he had come forth from God, was going back, he got up from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and he girded himself. So you got to get this picture, like Jesus is wearing kind of a flowing garment of sorts, and he ties a towel around his waist, and he goes and he kneels down, and he's going to start washing the disciples' feet. You ever had your feet washed by somebody else? Isn't it kind of awkward? It's a little weird. Unless you pay like a pedicure lady, that's kind of cool, actually. Scrub your feet anyways. But it's kind of, that's nice. But when I've had somebody do this with me once, and when I went to Thailand, we have a good relationship with Charlie Milbrot and his ministry in Thailand. And we go over, we give money, we bless kids. We just serve them in the name of Jesus. And we had no idea they were going to do this. And they got our whole team and they sat us down on the stage and all the kids came and they washed our feet and they prayed over us in Thai. Like we didn't even understand what they were praying for us. It's why I have hair. No, I'm playing. but in all seriousness, it was really beautiful, humbling. And they were, well, this is what Jesus is about to do. But let me read a little more for you. So he put a little bit more. Then he poured water, verse 5, into the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel which he had girded himself. So when he came to Simon Peter, Simon said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus said, what I do you do not realize, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have part with me. And Simon said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head also. And Jesus says, he who bathes needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you, because he knew that the one was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So you've got this picture. Imagine you live in a culture where everybody wears sandals. All the roads predominantly are dirt, with the exception of the primary Roman roads. Everything else is what? Dirt. They live in the middle of the desert. They walk. So what you're talking about is a custom. People would come over to eat dinner, which they're about to have Passover. They're about to sit down and eat. And they would sit down, and one of the servants in the house would come, and he would wash everybody's feet because their feet were nasty. They were dirty, sandals walking in the dirt. Well, the thing is that the lowest of the low, say the lowest of the low, the lowest of the low of the servants, like this is the worst job ever, would be the person washing feet. Hey, listen, when I was coming up, my professional life before being a pastor, I ran restaurants. Well, my first job in a restaurant was as a what? What's the worst job in a restaurant? Dishwasher. Hey, you guys are awesome. I had the privilege every day of going home soaked, head to toe, feet wet, smelling like greasy food. I hated it. The worst job, honestly, I've ever had in my whole life. If you're a dishwasher, God bless you. I'm just saying. I'm glad because I eat clean plates from you, but it was terrible. That is the equivalent of this job. So Peter says, hey, wait, Jesus, you're going to wash my feet? And Jesus says, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And he says, no, that's not how this is going to work. See, you know that all of us come to Jesus with this kind of attitude. We do. Like, I'm going to partner with Jesus to get this thing called faith and religious life successful. You're going, I don't do that, Pastor. We all rumble around. We want to do it and be okay with God. It's called works. You guys all know that we want to do something right. Okay, there's three of you with me. The rest of you might disagree. I don't know. But anyways, we come to God and we have this idea like we've got to partner with you to get to this place that you want us to get to. And he says, well, no. You can't wash my feet. Because he understands this, the lowest of the low servants. You're supposed to be the king. They still don't understand he's going to die. They think they're going to get a literal kingdom. So they're like, no way, you're going to be a king. Kings don't wash feet. It's not a king's job. We don't want that to happen. And Jesus says this back to him. If I don't wash my feet, you have no part with me. Literally, you have no fellowship with me. But what if Jesus said to you, if you don't let me serve you the way I'm supposed to serve you, you don't have any part with me. Listen, let me tell you the truth. For many people, this is the dividing line between bowing their heart and not. It's the dividing line between letting God be God and you having some control in this thing we call faith. But I'm just speaking the truth right now. For some of you, are like, ooh, yeah, that's why. Listen, some of you struggle to walk deeply with God because you need a little too much control. It's just the truth. You want to do faith your ways. How many of you guys wanted to do faith your way? Come on, let's be honest. I like doing faith my way. Like, Jesus, meet my needs, and maybe I'll do something nice once in a while. That guy with, you know, I fed that guy a burrito 2 years ago. Doesn't that count? I helped move a chair. I picked a piece of paper up in the parking lot. And he's saying, no. Listen, I need you to take your hands off the wheel and let me drive. I need you to let me be God. If you don't let me demonstrate for you the service and the sacrifice that I'm modeling for all the people that are ever, from this point on, going to be my disciple, you don't have part with me. Is that heavy or what? I'll tell you what, I read that and I go, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I always want to be in control. And he says, I know, but I still love you. Because all of us want that. And he's saying this to some of you this morning. I need you to let go. I need you to surrender. I need you to understand that when I put my spirit in you, you can't do anything without it. Now, on Wednesday night, I'm teaching on the ministry person in work of the Holy Spirit, ministry of the Holy Spirit. For those of you who were here Wednesday night, was that a fun class or what?
Yes.
It was a very fun class. See, because you've got to get an understanding of something. We all think we're partnering in this thing called faith. Listen, all you're doing is bowing low and letting God be God. You realize that nobody gets saved without the Holy Spirit in the mix. Oh, no, I preached to them, Pastor. They got saved because of me. No, they didn't. They got saved in spite of you. That's the truth. Holy Spirit leads people to God. Holy Spirit empowers people for freedom. It's all about who? It's all about God. It's all about God. And the sooner you figure that out, the sooner you will start having a successful and vibrant, victorious walk with Jesus. You can't be in control. You can't be in control. God's in control. Can I get an amen on that? You can't be in control. God is in control. He says to Peter, you don't have part with me if you want to think that way about it. Because you need to understand this, that I'm God and I'm demonstrating how I want you to live life. And then Peter, like a good old boy. How many of you guys love Peter? I love Peter because I'm Peter. I'm the impetuous, say the stupid thing, put my foot in my mouth, pull it back out, breath smelling like leather, talking to people. You know, that's me. I get Peter very, very well. And Peter says, well, shoot, then forget it. Give me a bath, God. Do my head and my hands. And Jesus says something that's quite profound, and you don't catch it in the English. He says, those who are cleansed do not need a bath. Now, when you read it in English, you're like, well, he's talking about washing feet. It's not what he's talking about. He's saying those who have been made pure because of me, Jesus, don't need to worry about whether they're clean outwardly or because they've been made clean inwardly. That's actually what he's saying to them. You don't get that in the English. When you read in the English, you're like, it just seems like he's talking about a bath. He's not talking about a bath. But he knew that Peter was. Peter thought that if I'm clean outside, everything is what? Good. And he's saying, no, I need you to be clean where? Inside. Oh, and by the way, you've already been made clean. You don't need a whole bath to be right with me, Peter. That's what he's doing for him. He's trying to demonstrate for him that righteousness with God comes through trust and faith in him. That's what he's doing. And they don't get it. Like, he's not even gone yet. They don't understand what's happening. They're not even confused. They just don't see it at all. And so he goes on. He who's bathed, verse 10, needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you're clean, but not all of you, because he's referencing Judas, who had betrayed him, verse 12. So when they had washed their feet and they had taken his garments, they reclined at the table, and he said to them, do you know what I've just done for you? So he's going to teach them. And then this is what he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, I am. So teacher and what? Lord, that's important. A lot of people call Jesus teacher. Not everybody calls him what? Lord is somebody that you do what? Obey. You listen to him. When he says do something, you do it. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example so that you should do as I did. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you what? Do them. You're blessed if you what? Do them. You're blessed if you what? So let me break this down for you. What he just said is, I blessed you, go bless. Thank you. That's faith. That is, listen, some people go, I got to figure it all out. Pastor, I want to understand all those theological words you talk about, Christology and pneumatology. No, you don't. No, you don't. I spent $20,000 in education to know those stupid words. And you know what? None of them changed my heart. None of them did. You know what changes your heart? Getting on your knees. Okay, so I'm gonna wrap up with the story because I think I'm a little long. You guys are like, keep going, you're funny. No, I'm... You know, often when we're walking with Christ, if you're in an okay place, you don't really look at it all that much. You just think, I'm kind of plugging along and I'm okay with Jesus. And one of the things that I always encourage people to do at whatever level of faith, whether you're a brand new believer or you're an old crusty one like me, I'm actually long enough in the Lord to say I'm crusty. How cool is that? I've been walking with Jesus longer than I've not been walking with Jesus. Is that cool or what? 20 years not, 30 years doing it. Well, 21 years not, 30. That's cool. So walking with Jesus for a really long time, and I tell people this all the time, put your heart before God and ask him to search it. Put your heart before God and ask him to do what? Search my heart and know it and see if there's anything out of alignment. See if there's anything wicked in me. And the truth is this, that if you don't do that prayer, this is what you'll often think. I am fine. There's nothing wrong. I'm good. Like there's nothing going on. But as soon as you stop and you say, God, I'm going to recognize you not only as teacher, like the words that we study, but as Lord, the person I obey. And you invite him into this interaction of intimacy, of depth of being, of heart searching. Now, the truth is this, the times that I've done that and he says something to me other than what I think are difficult moments. They're moments that are very real. Would you guys agree? You ever had God hold a mirror up to you? You're like, I'm doing great, Jesus. I'm really doing good. And he goes, and you're like, whoa, your hair's all sideways. Makeup's crazy. You know, he's like, you don't look good today. And you think you're what? Totally okay. See, and this happened to me a couple weeks ago. And so I'm going to tell you guys this story and then going to give an opportunity for some of you to get prayer because I think it will apply. You know, I was sitting on the patio in Sedona when we went away for vacation last week, or the week prior anyways. That's why I wasn't here last Sunday. We were at the beach. I like the beach anyways. So we're in Sedona, though, prior to going to the beach, and we're at a hotel, and I wake up no matter what. Like, go to bed late, doesn't matter where I am, hotel or not, I pretty much wake up sometime around 5:30 every single day. I can go to bed at 3 in the morning, I wake up at 5:30. My body just goes bing, and I'm like, no, I want to sleep longer. But everybody else, we're on vacation, so they're all doing what? They're sleeping longer. So I grab my Bible like a dutiful Christian, and I go down, I grab a cup of coffee, and I sit out on this patio, and it's overlooking all the red rock. It's beautiful. Wow. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm praying about, like, God, what's the next series you want me to do? What's the next thing? Like, the week after Mother's Day, I'm going to start into a study in the book of Revelation, which, for the record, I have avoided teaching in my entire life as a pastor. And I've avoided it, one, because it takes a ton of studying, but there's also lots of controversy over it. But we're going to jump into the book of Revelation the week after Mother's Day, so don't miss it. I think it'll be fun. So I'm sitting out, and so I thought, well, for my devotion, I'm going to start reading the book of Revelation. And, you know, John on the Isle of Patmos, and he has and I'm reading, and then it's the letter to the seven churches, which are literal churches in Asia Minor, and Ephesus is the first church, and it says, you know, you've got those among you who call themselves apostles, but they're not really apostles, and you put them to the test. Way to go. That's modern language for what Jesus says to them. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that's us. We put people to the test. And then the very next verse says, but I have this thing against you. Anybody know what it says? That you have left your first love. And God goes, that's you. And I went, no, it's not. And he said, yeah, it is. And now, mind you, those of you who know personal circumstances, my life, last season's been a pretty hard season. Lots of stuff. You guys ever have stuff? I mean, you guys have stuff going on, hard season. And you're trying to sort it out. And this is immediately what I said to God. I thought I was doing pretty good. Like I hung in. I didn't give up. I still did everything I'm supposed to do. And he said, you've been going through the motions. I said, no, I haven't. He goes, yes, you have. And then he started to show me how I've been going through the motions. You know that when God does that hold a mirror up to you, that you can argue all you want, but God is right. You guys get that? So I'm kind of sitting with the Lord, and my first response, because I've done this practice that I'm demonstrating to you or teaching to you, God searched my heart. I immediately went, God, I'm so sorry. Had no idea at all that I had done anything other than try to stay engaged in a difficult season. That's all that I thought I was doing. And then he started to show me, you know, when you did this and you cut this corner and instead of restudying and praying, you kind of just pulled old notes. I mean, you guys are thinking, you did that? Listen, you either pull notes from a commentary or you pull them from yourself. That's what everybody does. That's part of preparing a sermon. But he started to show me, but you haven't prayed through to hear what I'm saying to the church. Now, this is how gracious God is, because he's dealing with me at this level, okay? Somebody say yes. He's dealing with you, Pastor. And I'm having people, you all, come to me and say, man, you've been preaching great. Dead serious. People telling, man, it's really ministering to me, Pastor. I'm like, that's the grace of God. That's so cool that he's still speaking to you, even though I'm not necessarily where I need to be. You know, I've always led you guys as transparently as I know how to lead you. So I'm just being as candid as, listen, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't grapple with life. Amen. So in my grappling with life, I come face to face with God and he says, I need you to refocus. By the way, it was so gentle, like unjudgmental, that I almost can't explain the interaction to have you fully understand it. Like there was no sense of condemnation. I didn't feel guilty. I didn't feel shamed. I didn't feel like somehow God was doing what my mom would do. Jamie, shame on you. I used to hate it when she'd say that. I got two brothers here who will witness it. I'm like, I don't want shame on me. Leave me alone. It wasn't like that at all. It was just God lovingly say, I need you to focus. I need you to remember. So the last couple weeks for me have been, frankly, really vibrant, really good, really, I don't want to make it something it's not, but just intimate. God's been really, really fresh. And I think this, I share this story with you because I think some of you are in the same spot. That to some extent, it's not like you're wanting to run from God. I wasn't running from God at all. But to some extent, you're going through the motions. And that's not what God wants for you. I understand this, that when you look at Jesus' life, and I'll just tell you the points, that first, Jesus functioned with purpose. He knew why God sent him. And then next, he functioned with humility. He bowed low to demonstrate what spiritual life looks like. I'm going to be the guy who does the worst thing that anybody could do. I'm going to wash your feet. And by doing that, I'm going to demonstrate what spiritual life looks like. What he's doing is he's trying to teach all of us that the entitled community that we all feel the pressure of, that somebody owes me something, nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. God has rescued you from death and put you into life. And our response to that truth is this: here's my life. Use it for your glory. That's the response. Now, some of you are like, I don't know if I want to give that much. Listen, this is what I know about Jesus. Give him whatever you're willing to give, and he'll be blessed by it. And then you'll be blessed by it, and then you'll give him more. Come on, those of you who've been around a while, am I telling the truth right now or what? Yeah. That, man, you start serving God and you feel so alive because you give your life back to him that you think, man, this is way better than any stupid thing I could be doing. I'm going to, you know. So listen, next week I'm going to do a similar kind of a message where I'm going to call you into a place of what is God asking you to do in response to his goodness towards you? Because we're all called. Listen, those of you who think that I'm the minister and you're not, you have a misunderstanding of what the scriptures teach. You have a misunderstanding. I'm doing my role. You've got to do what? Yours. That's part of spiritual life. And spiritual communities, they're infectious. And you're like, infectious, wrong room. No, it's not the wrong word. People are drawn to it. It has a sense of vibrancy. Like, listen, worship this morning, you keep doing worship like that, I won't even need to preach. People will come. How do I know that? Because it's happened a bunch of times, hasn't it, Vic? Where I'm like, man, you know, because Vic used to be our worship leader. Worship, I get it here. So he did it on Easter. Anyway, prophecy, thus saith the Lord. No, I'm playing, okay? I'm playing. I mean this in all truth. And Steve would say the same thing, that there are times where you lead worship and people are drawn to Jesus. That's it. So when we live a lifestyle that represents Jesus, when we love and then we demonstrate discipleship, people are drawn to that. They say stuff like this. This place is just different. They don't know what's different, but they like it. Some of you would say the same. I'm in this place. It's a little weird. And I think the pastor is funny and kind of crazy. And the songs go too long. Don't worry. You'll like them eventually. I promise. How do I know that? Come on. I'm telling the truth. You guys know me. Because I remember the first time I sat in a worship service, I thought, this is corny. And now we could have only worshiped today and I'd have been completely fine. Because I understand that worship is celebrating and adoring the one who rescued my life. So listen, I want to wrap this up. And I don't feel led to do an altar call. But some of you might want prayer when I'm done. So some of you might, when we're done, the altar team will come up after I say amen. And you can come up and get prayer. Because I think some of you are in spots where you've grown cold enough with God. And me preaching about it, you're kind of like, I think that might be me. Now watch, let me help you identify how this could be you some. That your life's got so much pressure in it, pain in it, difficulty in it, that everything you do surrounds that. You can't think outside of the pressure or the pain. Now, and I get it. Listen, so that you understand, God is not mad at you when you're suffering the effects of sin in this natural life. He's not mad. But do you know that often the pathway out of not being focused on that is to start to give your life away? That's how it happens. And you start to realize that even in the midst of struggle and pain, that God can still use a broken vessel, a pained vessel, one that doesn't have all the ducks in a row. Listen, none of us have all the what? Ducks, none of us do. That's why he says, hey, just get in there and do it. And you'll learn about each other. You'll love on each other. You'll feel my spirit and it'll be so much better than anything you would do outside of that. Listen, I'm a Christian 30 years later because of what I just said to you. Because I'll be honest, can I be really honest, and then I'm going to pray and close. Being a pastor is not necessarily all that fun. It's not. You're in the middle of a lot of junk, a lot of conflict, a lot of pain, a lot of struggles. Not necessarily. Sometimes it's really hard, and some of you are like, I'm not a pastor. I don't totally relate. Yeah, you do, because you minister as an extension of me and Jesus. And this, I don't mean me and Jesus on the same level. I'm the pastor here. Jesus put me here. We minister as an extension of him. And some of you feel that pressure because you're in people's lives. You know what I'm talking about. But when I get to sit back and just say, man, like God is in the mix. He knows my successes, my woes, my strengths, my weaknesses, and loves me anyways. There's something that is just so peaceful and I can't help but just say thank you and live out of that truth. So listen, some of you, I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to pray for you. And this might make sense to some of you. Maybe some of you in the room, maybe you're just doing great. Maybe this doesn't apply to you, but for others of you, your world has become so consumed by the things that you're struggling with that it's often just very, very difficult for you to see anything but the point of pain. And listen, I understand, especially if you're in a situation where your issue is life-threatening. Listen, I could testify on behalf of two or three guys in this church who are facing life-threatening diseases and they still serve God. They still give their lives away. They still honor him as King and Lord, even though they're in the middle of the struggle of pain and wanting God to meet their personal need at the same time they're serving others and meeting theirs. See, the kingdom of God happens because we've been loved and we're called to turn around and love others. So some of you in the room, I think this, that when I told you the story about your love growing cold, you thought, yeah, you know, listen, how do you know? How do you know? This is how you know that when a pastor says something like that to you, inside you, you kind of go, ah. Hey, you know what I'm talking? You have that moment that like, it's a bit of an aha moment, like a, yeah, that might be me. Listen, that doesn't mean you're bad or evil. It just means that God is holding a mirror up. So that you can look honestly and make an assessment honestly, to make a decision honestly, to move back in his direction. You need to know this. God is never angry at you, even if you've moved far from him. You're here this morning because he's trying to make you aware that he doesn't want you to move away from him. You know, all of us are in process. No one arrives. And we all face times in our walks with God where he just reminds us I'm the King and the Lord, and you need to bow your knee before me. Not because I'm forcing you to, but because I love you, and it needs to be in the right order. But listen, if you're in the room this morning, and you would say, man, that's me, Pastor. I'd really quite thought of it like that, but if I were honest, I would say I'm kind of holding back. And my life has become so much about me that it's kind of difficult for me to think anything outside of me. If that's you, I want to pray for you. That's all I'm going to do. I want you to lift your hand so that I can pray for you. And so that you understand, when I ask something like that, those are points of repentance. Those are points of us saying, God, I was doing it one way and I'm going to do it another way. When we do that, the Bible says that heaven celebrates our repentance. What you're saying to God is, I understand that my way is not your way and I want to do it your way. So if you're in the room and you would say, you know, I'm not where I need to be with God. I'm not like in left field. I haven't run away. That's you this morning. Just lift your hand. Lift it high. I want to see it. Now I see your hands. I see them. So God, I want to bring especially those who are courageous enough to say that applies to me. And I want to agree with the point of repentance in them. Those of you who raised your hand, I just want you in the quiet of your own voice to say to God, I'm sorry for doing it my way, and I want to do it your way. Lead me and teach me how to do that. And God, I pray a covering over them, that you would guard, especially the things that you deposit that are derived from the Spirit, that you would guard them from being snatched up from other people, other things, other spiritual dynamics. God, we just pray a guard over their hearts. And God, I pray that you would lift them up. Help them to see their purpose with humility. Help them to see where it is that they can be an influence for the kingdom of God, not only within this church, but within their life, their friends, their family. And God, we want to say thank you that you are Lord of all. We want to say thank you because, God, we don't want to trust in men, chariots, none of that stuff, horses. God, we want to trust in the name of the Lord our God. And we want to come into agreement. God, where you're going, we want to go. What you're doing, we want to do. So, God, hold the mirror up to each one of our hearts. Let us see them honestly. And, God, if there's anything wicked in any of us, God, we just want to lay those things down at your feet and say, God, forgive us and strengthen us to follow you. Lord, it's with great humility that we come before the throne of grace, recognizing that the King of glory, the Lord of glory, hung on a cross to give us the privilege to go face to face with him. God, we just want to say thank you that you did that for us. And God, we want to say, here's our life. We want you to use it for your glory. Demonstrate your goodness in us. Let other people see our love and know that we're disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now listen, before you go running for the door, some of you in the room need prayer. You don't need to head for the door. You need to head to the altar. Ministry team, as soon as I dismiss you, they're going to come up and they'll pray with you. You know, if you have some needs, like especially if you have physical needs, like I know some of you in the room, I know you personally, you need prayer. You've got health issues. You've got family issues. Don't go that way. Go this way. Let somebody pray with you and break off the attachments that are so difficult to overcome. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great Sunday. Where grace and suffering meet.